My dad's teachings continue to reach hearts around the world, bringing hope, truth, and encouragement. Jesus gave us many beautiful parables, each offering meaningful guidance for our lives. In today's message, Dad highlights the rich lessons found in the parable of the two debtors.
I'm Pastor Salem, and I want to welcome you to the Christian Worship Hour. And we're always happy when you open your doors or when you let us come in, and we can just spend a little time worshiping the Lord together. And we know that you're going to be blessed because we're using the Word of God, and God always uses that to bless His name. But we also get some letters, and so we like to share just some of them because you can just see what people are thinking, what they're saying, and maybe they're asking questions that you're asking. Who knows? But here's one from Great Falls, Montana. And he says, we've been enjoying Heart of a Shepherd. Thank you for making this film. I put it on when I'm needing inspiration. And so the Heart of a Shepherd is a one-hour film that we just got out now in the last few months. And it is an evangelistic film, and it tells about how to come to Jesus, how God loves you and He wants you to come to Him. And it exactly how to need to come to the Savior. And we have people that watch this alone and pray. They haven't ever prayed to accept Jesus and ever ask Him into their life. And they pray and got and saved on the spot. Because the moment you believe and put your faith in Jesus, you have eternal life. Here's Rose Hill, Kansas. Says, just want to let you know how much I appreciate your Sunday TV service. The Lord is so great, and I love Him so much. He is a wonderful Savior to me. Looking forward to seeing the Savior, my husband and many loved ones over there now. Titus 2:13, praying the Lord would bless you and keep the gospel going till Christ comes. And Titus 2:13 reads, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Someday Jesus is coming back just as sure as He came the first time, He's going to come the second time. And nobody knows, only the Father in heaven knows when He'll come, but He'll come when He's ready. And you need to be ready. That's the big thing. And you're not ready if you don't have Jesus in your heart. And you don't have Him in your heart unless you ask Him in. And just say that prayer, dear Jesus, I'm a sinner. I ask you to come into my heart, take away my sins, dear Lord. I'll forsake my sins. I'll live for you the best I can. Thank you, Jesus. See, that's it. That's it. Don't make it hard. God is not willing that any should perish. He wants you to come. Well, let's see. Oh, here's one from St. Francis, Minnesota. In our Sunday school class, we're studying about the Holy Spirit and Pentecost. They're telling me that I need to do a third baptism with the Holy Spirit. I've been baptized 2 times, once a sprinkling and once in the river like Jesus did. Isn't that enough? I believe that Jesus died for my sins and that He is my Savior. I believe He rose from the grave and someday I'll be with Him in for eternity. Why are they saying I need another baptism? Thank you for your help. Well, I'll tell you why they're telling you have to be baptized a third time, because they don't read their Bible. That's all there is to it. They don't read their Bible. Write this verse down. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 13. Listen. For by one Spirit, that's the Holy Spirit, for by one Spirit were we all baptized into one body. Whether we Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, we've all been made to drink of one Spirit. See there? By the Holy Spirit, we're baptized into the body of Christ. Well, how does He do that? Does He use water, fire? What does He do? Well, I'll tell you what the baptism of the Holy Spirit is. Here I am. I'm in my sins. I'm dead in my sins. Dead. And I want eternal life. And how is God going to take me, a dirty sinner? And so I pray to Him, and He washes me with His blood. I ask Him to wash me, and by faith I believe in Him. And the Holy Spirit takes me, and He baptizes me. He takes me out of that dead, with that dead body, and He gives me a living spirit, the Holy Spirit. And I have the Spirit of Christ within me. That's the baptism of the Holy Spirit, when He takes a poor, dead, lost sinner, and He makes him alive in Christ. That's the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And that happens when you accept Jesus. And there are some people say, oh, well, you got to do it later on. They don't read your Bible. You'll answer your own questions. No, you don't need to have a third baptism. You need to accept Jesus and rejoice in your wonderful salvation. And then let's see, one more. Here's one quick one for us. Hatton, North Dakota. Heart of the Shepherd. I'm giving one of the films to my former pastor, who is a chaplain at two nursing homes, so he can show them there to the residents. And so what we do is if we send them free. If you want to use them in a retirement home, if you want to use them in some place, apartment house where you want to share with other people, we'll send it free and postpaid. And if you want to have them in the prison, we send some to the prison. But let me tell you something about the prison. We can't just send it to a prisoner there. We have to send it to the chaplain. You tell the chaplain to write, and you'd like to have that film, and we'll send it free and postpaid to the chaplain. And we're just praying that you'll do that. But let's look at our sermon. I love this sermon today because it's the parable of the two debtors. It's in Luke chapter 7. You can study it a little bit later, but I'm going to explain it all about you so you'll know what this story is. There are three people in this story of the parable of the two debtors. There's a man named Simon. He's a stiff, proud Pharisee, and he's invited Jesus to come into his home and dine in his home. The second person is a woman. She has entered the Pharisee's home to see where Jesus is, and so she can come and wash his feet and anoint his feet. And she is not Mary Magdalene. That's another person. And so this woman comes to anoint the feet of Jesus. And the third person in this story is Jesus, the Lord Jesus. So let's look at Simon. I'm sure Simon had many questions in his mind about the Lord. Who really was he? What does he teach? And so he invites him into his home. He wants to talk to him, and he wants to see what Jesus knows and what he's all about. But it was not a cordial, open, really a warm invitation. We see that because Simon neglected three courtesies that they would show to people that visited him. The three courtesies were, first of all, he would bring him water to wash his feet. That's the first thing they did. The second thing he didn't provide oil. He put oil on his head and spot his head a little bit. And then he didn't give him the customary kiss of salutation. He didn't do anything like that. He just had Jesus come and sit at meat. And then look at this woman. As Jesus and Simon sat at meat, very strange thing took place. Luke writes this very simply. He says, a woman, a sinner. A synonym for the words a sinner is harlot, or as the Living Bible puts it, a woman of the streets, a prostitute. So here you have the very outcast of society. Now, in order to better understand the events that take place, we have to understand the situation. Here's how it took place. The incident takes place in the courtyard of a well-to-do man, Simon. And in their houses, they would have a courtyard, a square courtyard, and it was open, and sometimes had some flowers and some plants there. And in good weather, they would sit there and eat. And there was a wall around their house, not a very high wall, just enough to keep people out. But people could stand by and watch. And they liked, and people would watch and see who was there and what they were doing. And if a rabbi was teaching, they could listen to the rabbi preach. And the rich man who owned the home liked that because they could see how rich he was and how wonderful his people that he had, and he kind of showed that off. So that was just fine for people to stand all around there. They're watching these people as they're having their dinner. And the guests didn't sit around a table or on chairs like we do today. Instead, they reclined on a low couch by the table. They reclined, lying on that couch by the table, and they would eat. They would rest on their left elbow, and with the right hand, they would eat their food. During the meal, the sandals would maybe be taken off, And so this explains why this woman is standing at Jesus' feet, because he's lying on that couch. And he said, maybe he has sandals off. And the gates of Simeon, their courtyard, they could look and look in. And all of a sudden, as they're walking and they were going to have their meal, there something happens. This poor woman steps across the threshold and walks right into his house, into his courtyard, and walks up to Jesus. And Simon he's petrified, almost fell off of his couch, because she was a woman of sin, a terrible woman of sin. And you can understand and know, Simon knew this woman wasn't coming to him, because morally he was just as good as he could be. The Pharisees, they had other sins, but not moral sins. And they were very careful how they lived and how they kept the tithe and all of the rest of it. And so Simon is a Pharisee. And so he would never have anything in the realm of morals marked against him. No, this woman of the streets wasn't coming to see him. And so old Simon, he is just startled, because the woman goes to Jesus. Well, what's going on? And he sees her coming to the Jesus, and then goes to his feet, and she stoops down. She anoints his feet with the ointment. She shed tears upon his feet. And then behold, she kisses his feet. And finally, she opens her hair, and with the tresses of her hair, she wipes his feet. Jesus knew that Jesus did not here have to pronounce forgiveness on this woman, because we're told in the scripture she had already seen Jesus somehow, and she had accepted Jesus. This is what Jesus says. He says, this woman, her sins hath been forgiven. Past tense, they were forgiven before she came on the spot. That's why she came, is because her sins were forgiven and she loved Jesus and showing her devotion. And so this cleansing from this pollution of sin is very clear. And it's wonderful, Jesus, because he takes this woman and he takes her, an outcast, and he gives her new life and forgiveness and a purpose for living and a reason for living, this wonderful Savior. So now then, look at the story. Let's follow it through. It says, Jesus said, a certain lender, that is a money lender. They had them then, you got them now. They loaned money. And this is what Jesus said in Luke 7, 41 to 43. A certain money lender had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence, the other 50. When they had not wherewith to pay, he forgave them both. Which of them, therefore, will love him most? And Simon answered and said, he, I suppose, to whom he forgave the most. Jesus, Simon says, I suppose, kind of a super smart aleck way. Well, I suppose the one that gave him the owed him the most. And Jesus says, thou hast rightly judged. That's exactly right, Simon. You've got it right. Our Lord used a figure here. It's a commercial one. There's money. There's debtors. There's creditors. And the money had undoubtedly been borrowed because of great need. And when a loaner had advanced one man 50 pence, the other had 500 pence. In the Living Bible, it says $500 to one and 5,000 to the other. So Jesus is dealing with the matter of owing debts. And there's a degree of obligation here. One has $500, the other has $5,000. And the advance of money came from the same person. And now he's dealing with both of these debtors. And all of a sudden, out of the blue, he says he forgives them both. And Simon can't believe it. $5,000, and he's writing it off. They're both bankrupt. They owe a debt and they can't pay it. And this man canceled their debts. And this is a beautiful picture of God. This beautiful picture of God. We're all sinners. We're all wicked people. And we're like, our righteousness are like filthy rags. You can't work to get to heaven, don't you? You can't work to get to heaven. You have to come through faith in a person, Jesus. And here God is doing the same thing. We're poor lost sinners, and he gives his son, and he'll pay all of our sins if we accept him. Almost cannot imagine it. And poor Simon, he couldn't believe it. And he's just astonished. And then Jesus tells him, which is likely to love him the most? And Simon, in his smart aleck voice, says, I suppose the one who gave him, Jesus says, you rightly divided. I'm sure old Simon was thinking to himself, and he was thinking himself, he was the one that owed $500, and that woman there and that wicked woman, she's the one that owes the $5,000. And sinner, Simon thinks, I'm a small sinner, and she's a big sinner. And poor old Simon, he knew that he would never do what she did, and so he's very proud of himself. But like that woman standing there, he was a high-class sinner. He was the same class as she was, because God is telling us there isn't such thing as a high-class sinner and a low-class sinner, because he says if you offend the law in one point, you're guilty of the whole thing, all of it. And we're all poor, lost, wicked sinners, and we don't have a foot to stand on. And Simon, he was standing on his good works. And Jesus said, they don't amount to a thing. Get them out of the way. There's only one way, and that's through the grace of God, the wonderful grace of God. Always remember them. If we break on one point, we're guilty of all. James 2, verse 10. And remember this too. This woman had been sinning after the flesh, and morally, she was an outcast, wretched woman. Simon was perfect, almost perfect, and as far as morals are concerned. But here he is. He's sinning after the Spirit. And he's a proud spirit. And he's a self-righteous spirit, an ugly self-righteousness. Self-satisfaction is all over the place. He looked down on this woman. He looked to himself as on higher on the ladder, almost perfect, and she's down here in the gutter. Oh, how many people think that way today? They don't do what other people do. They don't do what some wretched poor people do that are caught up in some sin. Oh, no, they're too good for that. And they think of themselves as following Jesus, as the God's little pets, as God's marvels, as God really cares for them special because they're so goody, good, good. That's the way they were. But you know what God says in Revelation? They are naked and poor and blind and wretched. That's Simon. That's all of us. And we better be careful where we put ourselves on that map, because we're all poor, lost sinners. So Jesus began to teach. And from this story, this is what he tells us. He tells us, first of all, that Jesus is showing total bankruptcy of all men when they stand before God Almighty. We are all debtors, no question about it. All of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We have nothing with which that pay that debt. We sing that song. That song says, nothing in my hands I bring. Why don't you bring something? Because you don't have anything. We're bankrupt. We don't have a nickel to our name. And Jesus is teaching us here that we have nothing. And that's all of our righteousness. He says in Isaiah 64, verse 6, that all of our good works, all of our righteousness in the sight of God, filthy, stinking rags. Get them out of here. We're all poor, lost sinners. And the second thing Jesus is teaching in this story is there is forgiveness for everyone. Yes, he forgave them both. All can be forgiven. Only believe and come to Jesus. It cost the lender, whoever he was, 550 pence, according to the 500 to the Living Bible, $5,500. But they could, no matter whether it's a little amount or a big amount, some people are better, more morally than others. Some are more have a better spirit than others. But we're all poor, lost sinners, and we need Jesus. And then this demonstrates a story that cleansing is the inspiration for devotion. That is our love for the Lord Jesus. It's not just a human love. It is a love that springs out of my heart Because when I think that I'm on the way to hell and I have no way to get out of it, and I'm going to be sure as that world, I'm going to be a torment where there's weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. And Jesus comes and he saves my soul. And I say, God Almighty, I'll serve you as long as I live, as best I can. I love you, dear Lord. And that's why we love Jesus so much. And if you don't love Jesus because you don't know him, that's your problem. You can't know Jesus and not love him. And so this is this wonderful for this Jesus is telling. This woman is showing here. She falls at his feet. She washes his feet with her hair, with her tears and the ointment. And so she is. She's serving because she loves him. And I'm not serving Jesus because I want to get to heaven. I want to go to heaven. But I'm serving Jesus because I love him. And I can love him a lot more and I can be a lot better. But I know I love him. And you can do the same thing. Well, then Jesus, you see, in a moment's time, then all of a sudden here this woman, here she is smirched and wicked and all, and she comes to Jesus, and she was nothing until she met Jesus. And then at a moment's time, 1 second's time, she became beautiful. She became beautiful because she was born again or born from above or received Jesus. That makes us beautiful. This wonderful Savior, only men and women who are beautiful who have Jesus. The only people of noble birth are the people that have been born the second time and have Jesus. And now she is cleansed. There was a time she was wicked, and now she's cleansed, and now she's free, and now she's shining, and now she's glowing, and now Jesus says, go and sin no more, and he says, go and serve the Lord and follow the Lord. And so she comes, and the first thing she's got to do is show that. And she comes to the feet of Jesus with the ointment and the tears and the cares, kisses and the caresses and the tresses and all of the rest. And then what is the last thing that Jesus tells this woman? And he says, go in peace. Or really should be, go into peace. You didn't have peace. Now you go into peace. She has a new life. He is saying, there's a future for you. There's a future for you. I don't think old Simon ever took her into his company. But she would find those who loved the Lord and knew the Lord and walks with Jesus and walks with the Savior. And so this story tells us, Maldonja shows us that great sins should not keep us from coming to Jesus. No matter, this woman was as far down as you could get, but it didn't stop her. And in the face of Simon, in the face of all the ridicule, and I can imagine he gave her a look that she would never forget, but she stomped, walked right past it all. Nothing could keep her from worshiping Jesus and serving Jesus and showing that love. And so that's the way we live today when we come to know Jesus. It's the only way to live. I've been with the Lord, walking with the Lord 87 years. And I failed him. I'm not bragging. I'm sorry for it. But I'm going to tell you that this wonderful Jesus becomes more beautiful all the time. He is so beautiful and he is so wonderful. And he'll never leave me or forsake me. And that's the way he loves you. And he wants you to come to him. And he cares for you. But he can't come. You have to come to him. He calls you. And he stands at your door and knocks. And he says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any person hear my voice and open the door, I'll come in. I'll come into your life. And I'll cleanse you from your sins. I'll make you pure. And I'll give you a new. And you can go in peace. And you can live a new life, a better life that you ever could possibly live. And you can live and you can be compelled and moved along. Because I love Jesus. We love Jesus. And we don't all want to serve him. You need to do that. And you know what you have to do? You just say, dear Jesus. Say it in your own words. Dear Jesus, I'm sorry for my sins. Now I ask you to forgive me for my sins and take them away. And I'll follow you the best I can. Turn from your sins. That's what Jesus taught. And I love you and thank you, Jesus. I love you so much. You make that prayer and you're a child of God. You're just like this woman. No matter what your sins, they're all gone. You could never find them if you wanted to. God has washed them away. And if you do that, you write to us. write to us at the Christian Worship Hour, Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. And we'll send you literature. And if you'd like to have our little Bible study, it's a little Bible study, how to handle the storms of life. You'll love it. It's free and postpaid. If you'd like to have the film, Heart of a Shepherd, we'll send it to you on a free will offering basis. If you don't have any money, you write and we'll send it anyway. Some way God will provide. And we need to have your help. Our only source of income is God's people. We don't have any organization behind us at all except the Christian Worship Hour. We're organized. And we're recognized. We're a member of the Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability. They check our books all the time. And so we're praying that you'll come to Jesus and that you write to us and let us know. So now I'm going to pray. And we're going to remember our brothers and sisters in Palestinian territory. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for the multitudes that have come to Jesus right now. And they're rejoicing and they're happy because they're free. And they have that wonderful freedom to know that their sins are washed away and they'll never face them. And dear God, we pray for our brothers and sisters in the Palestinian territory. And they're suffering just like any other place. And bless them and encourage them and strengthen them. Lord, be with those who are on beds of sickness. Be with the shut-ins. Be with those who mourn. Lord, bless the young people, the precious young people, and help them to know that you love them and you help them to get over things that they couldn't do it by themselves. And the children, the little children, God bless us all. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. So now you write to us, have to have your help. Christian Worship Hour, Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota. We're going to be looking for that, and we're counting on your help. For over 40 years, that's the way we lived. And as we go, I want to tell you this. God loves you. I don't care what your sins are. He loves you, and he wants to wash away, take them away. And God loves you, and the Christian Worship Hour loves you. We have team people working all the time. Many volunteers are giving their time because they love you. And I want you to know this, that I love you the best way I know how to love. And I don't want you to go into a Christless eternity. I want to see you in heaven. I want to talk to you. I want to shake your hand. And they can't do it unless you come to Jesus. You've got to come to Jesus. So don't forget, there's a lot of love out there. A lot of love for you. You are important. And so you just give yourself to Jesus. He'll carry you through. He'll guide you through. God bless you. God bless you, everyone.
My dad loved to preach because he got to tell people of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. If you would like to learn more about having a relationship with Jesus and grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, click the encouragement link on our website at cwh.org. You may also stream more programs, subscribe to our monthly newsletter, and view Pastor Salem's devotions and answers. We would be most grateful if you would pray for this ministry and help us financially to continue proclaiming the gospel. God bless you.